This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
7:01 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissions Baltimore at 7:30. O's take on the Chicago White Sox this weekend at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And, man, this is an opportunity to separate yourself from the bottom or become the bottom. This is the series that I said from the beginning, Ned. I told you, I told everybody on air, I don't want this series. I don't want this. I don't. I'd rather face the Brewers, who are close to 30 wins, or even the Phillies.
I don't want to face the Twins anymore.
But if you got swept by the Twins, you don't like it. But they're the Twins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're 30-25. You can't lose a series against Chicago because it erases all doubt. See, there's some doubt right now that we are the worst team in the American League. We have some doubt over that. I don't want to lose two out of three to them because that erases all doubt.
That'll be terrible. Seriously, that'll be terrible. I mean, it's just going to – I don't know what – you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference because it's still not going anywhere. This hole's too deep.
It does make a difference to me.
Psychologically, I guess
it does make makes a world of difference to me. You know, you can't.
I mean,
I'm telling you, if they lose two out of three at home to the White Sox, it's gonna feel more like a kick in the nuts than any other series.
It's just you look at the records. The O's are 19-36. White Sox 18-38.
I was at Main Street the other night,
mm-hmm.
and someone said you get to shave your beard for the Seattle trip. I said, why? He said, the White Sox coming to town. I went to my phone and turned it. I said, look at the records.
Yeah.
He said, oh. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They were one game apart. So we want to know from the people, if that happens, how will you react? 410-583-1057. Yeah. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. If it happens, I'm going to be, as Jeremy Kahn would say, the Alonzo Mourning Gift. Look at me. I guess that's where we are.
I mean, the good news is I got Zach Eflin tonight. So, and I believe he's just having a bad patch. He'll be fine. So, I mean, you've got arguably your best pitcher. I mean, Sagano's been keeping him in games, but Eflin's got the track record in Major League Baseball. So, I'm happy he's playing. He's the pitching for us, but the guy scored some runs.
I'm not.
Can't keep leaving men on base.
He's given up 12 runs in the past 10 and a third innings.
I know.
His ERA has ballooned to 5.40.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about him coming off that injury.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you got to give people time. It was even Bautista looked shaky coming back, and then he was pretty dominant the other day.
When he came back, his ERA
mm-hmm.
was 3.0.
Who was that? Eflin?
Eflin.
Yeah.
Now it's 5.40. Yeah. Gave up two runs in five innings against the Angels out there in Anaheim. Then in five and a third innings, he gave up eight runs against Washington at home. And then he gave up four runs in five innings against the Boston Red Sox. I'm a little worried about him.
Yeah.
Eli Parkville, what it do, Eli?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I think we got a four-game series, right?
Three. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right. I think they should be fine. I think the goal of this season is just try to get to 500. I mean, I think that's the only thing that they can hope for. And also, you know, I'm a big Jack Flaherty fan. I don't think we need Jack Flaherty. You know how you go to the store, your mom be like, we got that at home already. We got Cano at home, so we fine.
Smart ass.
Yeah, have a good Friday.
Pretty funny, actually.
He and I have an ongoing battle.
Cut that at home.
For a year and a half. We just go at it. I think he writes out his material now on me, though. Eli, I think you're practicing at home, man. I think you're writing out material. No fair. I don't get to write out the material because I don't know how you're coming at me. You get to write out your material. No fair. You got to come straight. 410-583-1057 is the number. I'm looking at the entire matchup for the series this weekend against the White Sox, the pitching matchups. You have Eflin versus Burke tonight. Tomorrow afternoon, you have Martin. Martin is putting together a pretty decent season, Davis Martin. He's 2-5, but the White Sox stink, so 2-5 is not that bad. 3.45 earned run average. That's going tomorrow. And then Sunday afternoon, which is ALS Day at the park in all of Major League Baseball, you have Charlie Morton on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. He goes up against Adrian Hauser for the used to be for the Texas Rangers. He's now with the Chicago White Sox. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's go out to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up? Just running.
Much. What's up with you?
All right. Man, if the Orioles, you know, lose the series to the White Sox, the way this season is going, you know, it's not going to be – I'm not going to have any kind of reaction. They got pretty much the same record. I mean, and we're bad. We're bad this year. And we're just as bad as the White Sox. So if we lose, it's like really no big deal to me because this has been one dumpster fire of a season. So it won't shock me or I won't be utterly disappointed because that's the way they've been playing this year, man.
You about to cry again, Mike?
No.
You sound like you about to cry again, man.
Let me tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
Man, I had this Nick shirt with you. I mean, for you with Brunson and crew that I made.
Know.
And now, so I mean, I know you still probably want it, but it's kind of like, man.
What are you talking about? They're gonna take this series.
You think they're going to come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, brother. Okay.
Is that why you were crying?
Yeah.
All right. Have a good one, man. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You really think they're going to come back and win the series?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you this, man. If they, the Knicks, win Saturday, they'll win the series because they'll come back to the Garden for Game 7.
Yeah, and they're good on the road.
And that place will be on fire if they come back home.
You'll see. That there won't be a regular person in the state. It'll be every celebrity in the city will be there.
That's bad for the regular people, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All the celebrities acclaim the number one fan.
It used like the Lakers always had that, but now that the Knicks are good, you notice how many celebrities are in this. It's like, damn. It's like... So many guys.
Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Morning. Morning, sir. How are you?
Good. TGIF and PYT.
There you go. It's Friday now. What's on your mind, buddy?
Bring Buck Showalter back. He won 96 games with the Orioles and 101 with the Mets. How are analytics working out for the Orioles? Have a fantastic weekend, guys.
You have a fantastic weekend as well. Brandon Hyde won 101 games with the Orioles. He's gone. After Buck won 101 games, what did he do afterwards? We highlight the great parts and then we forget about the not so great parts. One playoff series win for Buck Showalter. One. Now it's one more than Hyde, but again, I say it, I don't understand the love affair. I don't.
No, and I think a lot of. The fans, I think a lot of people who follow the game closely, you know, realize he would not, at first, he'd not be a good, he's not getting a job here.
He's not going to fit.
He's not going to
fit. Not
with
this machine.
No. Because it's, you know, Buck is, it's my way or the highway, and that's that. You know, I'll tell the, you know, I think Molesky said something like, you know, tell the GM, I'll call you when I need you.
Yeah.
So, something like that. But that's, and he's right. I mean, that's exactly how, you know, Buck is. So, no, I don't see it.
Not only that, I don't want it. I'm good.
I don't want it either.
Let's go in the other direction. Yeah. Commissions Baltimore at 7:30, but on the other side, the team, the Orioles, reportedly looking at John Mabry for a coaching position. Do you think this is just filling the whole role for Marcelino moving into the managerial role? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who's going to be the Orioles manager moving forward? Many people believe the Orioles movement right now may suggest that Tony Massolino is moving into that managerial role full time. It's reportedly the team is looking at John Mabry for a coaching position. You got to fill a role, and it's just because fans say the season's over and they're really ready to pack it in,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that the organization is looking to pack it in.
Right.
Just because the Orioles are looking right now to make a move and hire another coach, guess what? They lost the coach. They fired a manager. They moved someone from the inside up to the managerial position, and they kept shuffling around. So mm-hmm. that means they need someone. They are shorthanded right now. I don't think
they definitely need somebody.
I don't think that necessarily means this movement suggests that the manager is going to be Mancelino moving forward. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it doesn't tell me that at all.
No, and then what you said when you opened the segment was important. Like, just because the fans are throwing, they haven't thrown in the towel. They got to win games. They got to, you know, they have to. As ridiculous as it sounds, they've still got to hunt for that wild card spot. Not going to get it, but they need to do it. They need to, you know, you can't just lay down.
Yeah. I think this is the gap between, like, the not knowing. When people don't know, they come up with their own conclusions.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
It's four months left of baseball. You are short a coach with four full months left.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want me to get better, even remotely better, even a little bit better, I can't get better when I'm shorthanded. Now, the response for some people may be, well, they already have a gazillion coaches. Well, if they're used to operating with that number of a gazillion, that means that's what they are used to operating with. That yeah. means they're one short. So to me, it only suggests that they're short one coach, and John Mabry has a history with someone on the staff or someone in the organization, and they're pulling them in to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm glad that they're making moves because they got to do something, honestly. I don't know how much it's going to impact the product or the outcome of this, but they have to do something, so I'm happy they're doing it.
I'm glad they're bringing in someone with some extended major league experience, though. I love the fact that they brought in someone before the season started with Robinson Chirinos. But I love the fact that they're bringing in someone else, a guy like John Mabry, who's played in the majors, who has some experience, but played for the Cardinals and the Royals, I know. I think he played for the Marlins as well. But, you know, he's going to be the senior advisor to the new manager, Tony Massolino. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I'm happy about it, honestly. I mean, it's like, I just want to see some results. So, you know, that's all I want. I just want to see some results. Make the season interesting. Because now, I'm sure you have to be getting exactly what I get when you're out or when you're with friends. You know, either out in public or even with your friends privately. It's all people talk about. Yeah. How much the Orioles suck. It's getting old. I'm tired of talking about it. And then, you know, everyone's, you know, hypothesizing. I don't know why they're this bad. It's like, I don't know. Nobody seems to know. So, you know, what do? You point to injuries. Okay. Well, the guys who aren't injured still aren't playing well. So what is I don't know what the answer is.
Remember when we were looking to who do you fire before Brandon Hyde got fired? Who did I suggest? You remember?
I don't remember.
The hitting coach.
Oh, yes.
You know what Mabry's former coaching experience is?
Hitting coach?
Yes. Yes.
Let me take a wild guess there.
Yes.
Yeah.
He attended Chesapeake City High School in Maryland. He's from Wilmington, Delaware.
I heard somebody mention that yesterday. Yeah.
That's from Wilmington, Delaware.
On our station, somebody said that.
So, I mean, to me, that's kind of like, you know, I mean, we're not going to make any more firings because we don't want to make this thing too bad. But think about this. As a senior advisor, don't I have the right to kind of put my hands in a little bit of everything? You know, don't I have the right to maybe go to the batting cage while, you know, Cody Ashey is up there? He was a first-year hitting coach, and just kind of look at some things. I mean, keep in mind, this staff is first-year manager Massolino, first-year hitting coach Cody Ashley, first-year bench coach Robinson Chirinos, and second-year pitching coach Drew French. It's a very, very green staff. You need some help.
Yeah, it is a green staff. There's no doubt about that.
You got to bring in some help and some experience.
Yeah.
What happened last year with the Ravens when Zach Orr's defense wasn't quite getting it done? What did they do? Did they fire Zach Orr or did they bring Zach Orr help?
Oh, they brought him help, obviously. Okay. Yeah.
You're bringing in a former hitting coach.
Yep.
We're not looking to fire Cody Ashe because evidently, if you believe Cody Ashe is the, if you believe that he's the guy, like the Ravens believed in Zach Orr, they said, no. It's not time to fire him. It's time to help him. Help him get to where we know he could be. So you bring in someone with experience. We believe Cody Ashe is the guy that for the future for us. So we're not going to get rid of him. We're just going to bring in somebody with a little bit of experience that can kind of be his eyes and ears. That can kind of nudge him in the right direction. Listen to him say, yeah, I know what you're trying to do, but maybe this is the way to communicate that. Maybe that's the way to communicate. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe the gap is the communication. And think about this. You've got a guy who's played Major League Baseball, who's now the senior advisor. If he comes and says to someone, listen, man, I played 14 years in the majors. I didn't have a great career, but I played 14 years. I had 96 career home runs. You know, I had a lifetime batting average of .263, on-base percentage of .322, and I'm looking up his stats. It's not at the top of my head, folks. Yeah. So if you look at that and say, well, you know, now these players can ask, well, what did you do when this happened? What did you when that happened? Because remember, I suggested the fact that maybe you go out and get a guy like B.J. Surhoff.
Yes, I remember you said that.
And the reason why I said that, because I've talked hitting with B.J., and B.J. knows what he's talking about, man.
Yes.
And when you know what you're talking about and you have experience on top of that to say what you did in those moments, that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is not B.J. Surhoff, but John Mabry's played before. There's some advice that he can actually offer based on experience, and I think to me, nothing beats experience.
I think you're right, especially with nothing beats experience in general, but especially when you have such an inexperienced team. You have so many young players. I mean, this is it just makes sense. Don't know if it's going to change their fortunes.
No, not this year.
Yeah.
Not this year. And on top of that, John Mabry played in 26 postseason games.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played 26 postseason games, including two World Series games. One World Series, but two games. Played against the Boston Red Sox, the Red Sox team that swept the St. Louis Cardinals. 410-583-1057 is the number, so I don't know if you guys know by my tone, but I'm for it. Ed, your thoughts on it?
I'm for it, too. I'm glad. I know his background was that extensive, but I'm happy because it just when you have something like this, you got to shake stuff up. You can't just keep going with what you have and expect it to all to change by itself.
Right.
So you have to do something.
John, how old is John Mabry? Did I read he's 54? Yeah, he's 54. He'll be 55 in October.
Yeah. We're young.
Enough experience to, but at the same time, young enough to still be able to identify.
That's right.
He's right there in the middle.
He's old enough to have lived a life and have experience behind him, but young enough not to be, 72, like Dusty Baker. He was managed to 73.
Right.
And he was great because it's him. But I just think it's a way different age than 55.
It is.
It's different.
410-583-1057 is the number. What's going on with college football in the playoffs and more changes? We'll talk about that at 7:45. But on the other side, Kamish, is your Baltimore.
Yeah. This one is a personal one. I lost a friend last night and was stunned with the news. Really extensive career in law enforcement. People probably have no idea about half of what he has done. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bernie Kerik.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan. Ed's got to get himself together. He has some meat in his throat.
Yes. Lasagna was good, though.
It's Commissioner's Baltimore. Hey, that's courtesy of Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. It was good. Sorry about that. I talked about, teased it saying I lost a friend. I did. Bernie Kerik passed last night. I was stunned. My phone blew up. See, my every friend I had in the NYPD was talking to me. We were young police officer. He's actually 5 years older than me, but I had more time on the job. I was more senior when he came into my precinct, but we hit it off, and he lived in Manhattan. So after, you know, we've been doing 4 to midnight or 6 to 2 a.m., I drive him home, drop him on Jane Street. I continue to Brooklyn, and we stayed friends. And just some perspective, he was commissioner of the NYPD. You know who I'm talking about. He was a commissioner of 9/11 for people out there. You always saw him next to Giuliani during, you know, at the post 9/11 days and all that stuff. But it was a friend. I don't know what to put it. He was a friend of mine for like 40 years. He was a commissioner of New York when I was commissioner of Baltimore, when the Giants and Ravens faced off in the Super Bowl. So, you know, we had one of those friendly bets, crab cakes if the Giants won and pastries if the Ravens won. He did it, sent down. It was kind of cool. He sent down the pastries with my friend Sonny, who my tattoo was for him.
We never win those bets. Because crab cakes are better than everything.
Well, I agree.
It's on the other side.
I agree. But it was cool because we got to go to New York. Me and O'Malley, went to New York.
That was fun.
It was then. We got to sit on the lawn at City Hall in New York on lawn chairs, took photos. Giuliani lit up New York City Hall in purple.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome. It was an awesome time.
One thing better than that is being able to light a cigar while you're doing it.
Oh, Giuliani smokes cigars. We smoke cigars in the office.
There you go.
He was a cigar smoker. But Bernie had an incredible life. I mean, this guy was had a GED, a very rough childhood, just not a great childhood. But he ended up, you know, he was in the Army, and of course he was a commissioner of corrections in New York, the police commissioner, but he was a New York City cop when I met him. And he also had the feds targeted him, too. They went after him. It was similar to my nonsense. What they got him for, and he ended up going to prison. It's weird. When I went through my misery, he called me, yelling at me, you can't take a plea. This is nonsense. This is chicken ass they got. This is ridiculous. You can't take a plea. I said, but Bernie, they never lose. I said, I can't. I said, no. A couple years later, they get him for paying less than market value for repairs on his condo. Like, this is really what you got. This is it. You're going to get him for paying less than whatever you think the market price should be. Nonsense. He fights them. They offer him 10 months. He goes to trial. He got 4 years.
Ooh.
Yeah. He was pardoned. Trump pardoned him. Anyway, but he had a really interesting career. He did more than that. He was in the U.S. Army as an MP stationed in Korea. He was a security expert. He did security for the Saudi royal family. He just had an extensive, extensive career in law enforcement. And what people may or may not know, because people aren't going to follow him the way I did, he was the acting interior minister for Iraq. Think about that for a second. It's crazy. Now I got it. Here we go. George Bush put him in charge. President Bush, after the 2003 invasion of Iraq, Kerik was the interior minister of the Iraqi Coalition Provisional Authority, whatever, but that's what he did. And he was nominated to lead Homeland Security, and then everything kind of fell apart there for him. But he was, a true patriot. And he'll be missed, and I was stunned. Only 69 years old. Yeah, when I got the call, I thought it was, I asked my friend, I said, are you sure this is real? I just talked to him like a month ago. He's the guy. I went to his 65th birthday 4 years ago now, during COVID. It was at Jeanine Pirro's house. You know Judge Jeanine?
Yeah.
She hosted it. He was there. Joe Piscopo was there. Bo Deedle was there.
Bo who?
Bo Deedle. You know, but he's in a ton of movies.
Name sounds familiar. That's why I asked you.
He's all over. He's on television. He's been in a bunch of movies. Always plays a mob guy or a cop. And he's in a ton of films now. But Joe Piscopo, he was there. Eric Trump, Giuliani. It was like a who's who of the New York, you know, celebrities at his house. And
oh yeah, I know him.
You know him.
I know him. He also hosts one of these investigative shows as well.
Yeah,
am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the guy. He's in a lot of movies. The one people may know is in Goodfellas when Ray Liotta gets popped at the end when they get him out of his car. It's Bo Deedle's, telling him go move and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. This is he's Bernie's. I was just stunned. Apparently, he had congestive heart failure. Big loss for the country, though.
Is it me or is that happening a lot more now than ever than you remember in recent?
I never heard of it until recently. Like how many people are getting it? Yeah, Yep.
A little weird.
Yeah.
Congestive heart failure. I've heard probably in the last 2 years, and I'm probably the seventh or eighth person that I know right now who's died of that. And before then, what is that? When the first one I heard, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
And what is it? What is congestive heart failure?
I don't know. And I don't even know if that's what he died of. This is what my friend said. It just happened. We just found out last night, so I don't really know what the cause of death is. New York Times in the obituary was very vague. Said it was a personal disease or I don't know what the hell happened. But he did a lot of things. And also, to be noted, he never had a college degree. Mm-hmm. He was a police commissioner. You can't be a captain in the NYPD without a college degree. So he had a lot of heat for that, but he ended up being a commissioner of corrections. He did a lot of things in his life.
Joe just told me in my ear is the leading cause of hospitalization for people 65 and over.
Is it really? Wow.
It's a catch-all term. There's multiple things underneath of it that they call congestive heart failure. Okay.
So I probably heard of the things underneath of it, but now they summarize it as congestive heart failure.
Yeah, ischemic heart disease, chronic COPD is congestive heart failure.
All right.
More than 5 million people in the U.S. have congestive heart failure. It affects around 2% of Americans yearly.
So they're taking these things that we probably heard of, and they only categorize it as congestive heart failure.
Because it's common. Because I know a friend of mine in the BPD had it young, like my protege there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's common, but... But he's a big loss for the country, and I lost a friend, so kind of sad news for me.
Sorry for your loss, man. You sent that text to us last night and said, I got to talk about this.
It's weird. It's just weird. And it's the time of life when you start losing friends. I'm like, man, it's just whatever. But it's a sad day for the country. He's certainly controversial, but a patriot, friend. An interesting character, to say the least. So,
My cousin just texted me something that he has would be considered
really
in that category. Yeah.
Ah. Yeah.
Now, what he sent me is something that I recognize, but I would never have put that in that category.
Right.
Huh. He did say before COVID, it was 1 out of 500 people, and now it's 1 out of 200.
Is it really?
Yeah, according to him.
Wow. Well, yeah, I don't know if it's COVID or we've all had COVID in this, the three of us have had it multiple times. I don't know if it's that or the vaccine.
Jeremy had it multiple times?
Well, me, you, and Joe have.
I have had it multiple times.
I thought you had it twice.
No, I had it once.
Oh.
No, I had a big one.
Yeah, I had it twice.
I was sitting in my corner of my basement in a fetal position saying, if I'm going to die, I ain't going to be in the hospital. Yeah. I just believe when you put a bunch of six people together—
Yeah.
How do you get healthy?
No, I'm with you.
I'll just pass it along.
I wouldn't want to die in a hospital.
Let me sit in the corner of my basement.
Yeah.
And if this is how I'm going,
let me be home.
I got my sticks in my hand. I said sticks. Yeah. As in PlayStation.
Yeah. No, I had it twice. You had it once. Joe had it
a gazillion times.
Yeah.
He gets mad every time I say that.
Kiss my ass. So you weren't going to die, relax.
Back then, I didn't. Dude, my sister brought me one of those, what is it called? The thing you put on your finger to judge how much air you get?
Pulsometer.
Oxygen. Pulsometer, okay?
You read your oxygen, you mean?
She said, if you get under 90, call me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. Dude, I was at 80-something.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I didn't call her. I didn't tell her to after the fact. Yeah. And, it wasn't a good day when I told her after the fact. Thank you very much, Ed, for Commissions Baltimore. Yeah, Joe, because no one died of COVID. Cordell Woodland joins us at 8:30. But on the other side, thoughts on the proposed 5+11 model for college football playoffs. What is that? We'll let you know up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
7:47 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. College football playoffs could be taking a hit once we get to the 16-team format. And it's all about the SEC. This happened at the SEC coaches, spring coaches meeting. They pushed back on the format proposing 4+4+2+2+1. That means
what?
The SEC and the Big Ten each would get four teams.
Right.
The ACC and I guess the Big 12 would get two apiece, and then it'd be one conference thing, conference champion. Outside of that, non-Power 5 conference would be available then. And then you would have the at-larges. This one, they have not said specifically, but when you listen to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and he talked about the strength of schedule in the SEC. He used the words unique and the word stands alone when he talked about their conference schedule. He says that no one else has a conference schedule like theirs. There was a proposal of adding a ninth conference game. SEC coaches said, no way. We're not playing non-conference games. We already have a grueling schedule. So another model of the new playoff system when it goes to 16 would be number one. They talked about 16 teams already. Tells you that they're going to do it. The new model will be 5+11, five conference champions,
right.
Power five. Each conference will have this conference champion go automatically,
right?
Then 11 at large. That would still tilt the scale in the SEC and the Big Ten's favor.
Of course, it would. It definitely would.
If with the four, Sankey, Commissioner Sankey argued a great point. I watched some of this. I thought his point was very valid in that if you go 4-4-2-2-1,
mm-hmm.
that is, if I do the math, 8-4 is 12, it's 13 teams right there. You're automatically going in, then you go three more. So what you're doing is you're taking a lot of power away from the selection committee because you already have four. You got to go
fill the slots.
You got four right. SEC teams. Yeah. You got four Big Ten teams. So you're already kind of handicapping them.
Yeah.
If you go 5-11, of course, once the old ball coach said 5-11, that's not good. He's talking about his record with the Redskins. But if you go 5-11, then each Power 5 conference champion goes in. You know that. Mm-hmm. So now that puts 11 teams governed by the selection committee, SEC is going to rule that.
Yep.
And they know it. There's no way anyone other than the Big Ten, and not really even the Big Ten, because if you look at the Big Ten, when you get past about, what, five or six schools, SEC goes 8-9 deep sometimes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So
I don't know. Which one do you like?
I like the 5-11.
Yeah.
I do. I like the five. I don't like putting the selection committee in a box like that. Well, we got to go four here. We got to go four there. You got to go two. What if the ACC doesn't have two teams that are worthy of going to the playoffs? Or one year, what if the ACC just booms? And they have four teams that are playoff eligible. You put them in the box.
That's true.
Because they're never going to have more teams or better teams than the SEC and the Big Ten. It's never going to happen. The ACC nowadays in their better year, they may have four teams worthy of going. But the SEC and the Big Ten still going to have more than four worthy of going. So now because the SEC and the Big Ten, you know they're going to get four apiece. Now you put the ACC out on the island because they can't get more than four. But if you go 5-11... And the ACC has that banner year. Or the Big 12, for one sake, you don't have a banner year. They got three teams. Well, now you pick the right 11 teams without being held to definite commitments. I love it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think you're right because it's if you do the other model, we got four, you're really eliminating a lot of other schools. Mm-hmm. And what if they do have down years? Which is, I mean, it's unlikely, but you don't know.
You don't know yet.
You don't know. I mean, what if one year, the Big Ten is just, Michigan and Ohio State, and everybody's kind of like, could happen.
Good.
Yeah.
And I think it also allows you to scrutinize wins more. Yeah, they have 11 wins, but who did they beat? I mean, it allows you to scrutinize a lot more because you're not held to having a certain amount of conference teams for per conference in. I love it. And if you haven't learned anything from 2020, we know this. What the SEC wants is what the SEC gets. So if this, if the SEC is saying we want 5 plus 11, chances are the Big Ten is going to fall in line. If the Big Ten falls in line with the SEC, then everybody else be damned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just, because remember, during the pandemic, the Big Ten was originally the conference that said, we don't know if we want to play college football in this environment. SEC said, well, we will. We'll just play one another. Mm-hmm. Then the Big Ten came back and said, you know, maybe we want to play college football in this environment. And then the ACC jumped in line, and then everybody else fell in line. So, I mean, college football, as much as you, some of you all hate the SEC, you can hate it if you want. The SEC runs college football.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just that.
And college
and
baseball.
They have.
And
yeah.
And baseball. Yeah. They run it. So, you know, if you notice, all the reports is based on what happened at the SEC spring meetings. Nobody else. This is all out of their spring meetings. This is not some college football or NCAA meetings. And, Ed, if you read the article, and Joe, I know you did, let me ask you a question. Did you see those four letters in any part of the article that you read? The four letters. NCAA. It's not, is it? They're irrelevant, folks. The NCAA has no teeth. You can read that. Keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Find it. Find it. Find NCAA one time.
Yeah.
They don't run college football playoffs. They have nothing to do with it.
You'll never see their initials there. You know.
I remember I pointed that out to you about 5 years ago. Yep. I said, Ed, when the college football playoffs start, that's when it's the top four teams.
Yep.
Find the NCAA logo. They take it off the helmets. They take it off the uniforms. It does not exist.
Because
mm-hmm. they have nothing to do with those playoffs.
No, they don't. They do not.
And in 2020, the NCAA got punked. We don't want you to play football with a worldwide pandemic going on. Okay. Okay. We're going to play football with or without you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You want some of this or not?
I just need to just stop the charade and be done with them.
Yeah, please be.
Seriously,
done. Please.
Be done with them.
Yeah. So I like the 5-11. Ed does too. Cordell Woodland yeah. joins us at 8:30, but on the other side, local media got a preview of the premium suites at M&T Bank. But are you getting the feel that they're starting to price out some fans now? Starting to push him away a little bit, and I'll talk about it up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.